Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
Recently, I was listening to one of the other great shows here on Radio MD. I was listening to Healthy Talk, and I heard a great interview with Dr. Kelly Turner talking about her book, Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds. And she shares some great stories, and we wanted to delve in a little further and actually talk about these nine things that she found to really help people to get that radical remission, which is pretty incredible. Dr. Kelly Turner joins us now. Hello there.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's so great, Dr. Turner. I really love the book, and we're very excited. Let's give us a little history about this, of what got you interested in radical remissions.
Well, I was just counseling cancer patients. That was all that I was ever intending to do and was very much enjoying it. But I came across a case of radical remission, which is when someone heals from cancer when they're not supposed to, when they're statistically predicted to die, and instead they turn it around. And I came across this case and was just hooked and fascinated. And the more I researched, the more I found that no one was really studying these people or investigating them in depth. So that's what I decided to do.
I guess through your research, would you say you've encountered hundreds of people? Like, how many, I guess in terms of giving people hope out there, how many people did you speak to when you wrote your book in terms of collecting the data?
Well, there are over 1,000 published cases in the medical journals, and I've spoken and interviewed over 200 people now who've experienced radical remission. But it's estimated that for every case that's published, there are 100 more that go unpublished. So it's really happening more often than we think.
That's fantastic. Well, let's dive right into these nine. The first one is radically changing your diet.
Right, and I'm just careful to say that these are the common threads among radical remission survivors. We're not at a point scientifically to say that if you do these things, you will have a radical remission. All we know is that this is what this group of people has in common. And certainly the first one is radically changing your diet. And for them, what that meant was greatly increasing their fruits and vegetables while taking away or reducing things like meat, wheat, sweets, and dairy products.
Yeah, very that totally makes sense.
And it does make sense because it also helps to reduce the inflammation. And is that what you saw was the common thread was inflammation? I guess, and sugar too, which has now been linked to cancer in, you know, especially people who have cancer, they're being told to stay away from sugar, right?
Well, you know, too much sugar leads to an inflamed state in the body, and certainly those other things that they were taking out also helped to reduce inflammation. An inflammatory state in the body is being linked more and more now to being hospitable to cancer. So anything that we can do to keep those cells from growing is going to be helpful.
What would be the second one?
The second one, well, again, these are all equal. So even though I'm saying them they're in the order they appear in the book, they're, you know, at this point, they're all equal. We don't know yet which one is more important than the others. But the second one that I list in the book is taking control of your health. So that's more of a mental shift of moving from being passive, which is what most patients in the medical system are asked to be. They're asked to just kind of sit quietly and take orders, to taking an active role where you're asking questions, you're doing your own research, and you're understanding everything that's happening to you.
And something that feeds right into that is number three, following your intuition.
Right. This one was very surprising that it came up over and over again. The people that I study, the radical remission survivors, they don't follow their intuition blindly, but they do take it into account when making decisions. So they do a little gut check, and sometimes their gut was very strong telling them, don't do this, do this, or do this first and then do this. And part of the science behind that is because when we're in danger, the oldest part of our brain kicks in, which is the part of the brain related to instinct. And so this is a part of our brain we don't have to use very often, but when you have a terminal diagnosis of cancer, it definitely kicks in.
Can you give an example of this, intuition?
Well, absolutely. I've had survivors, radical remission survivors, who had a little voice in their head that said, just move to the ocean. I think for my healing, I need to get out of this place and I need to move to the ocean. Well, it turns out that their house had toxic mold in it. So their intuition knew that there was something dangerous and unhealthy about the house they were living in, but the instinct was just saying, move, you know, go somewhere with some salty air and things like that. So sometimes the intuition is honing in on something that's dangerous to your situation or to your body long before your thinking mind knows what's going on.
You know, I'm going to skip to releasing suppressed emotions. I know that using herbs and supplements is incredibly important. Andrea's giving me this funny look, but I just want to mention this because I really think this is what got my mother. I think that there was a lot of pain and unresolved childhood trauma, and because she ate healthy and she exercised and she took the supplements and she juiced and all that stuff, but I just feel like that was the one area that she did not address, and I think that was her downfall. So I just wanted to make sure to mention that, because I think that's hugely important and not as talked about as the herbs and supplements. So I just want to make sure to plug that.
Right. Herbs and supplements, you know, that's something I expected to see in my research, so of course it came up. But releasing suppressed emotions was another zinger for me, another surprise. The people that I study, what they describe that as is releasing anything that they're holding on to from the past, which is usually trauma, regret, anger, sadness, you know, stress, but also anything related to the future as well, which is usually anxiety and fear. And so if you're releasing fear and stress from the body, as well as other things like unresolved grief and unresolved trauma, what we know scientifically is that when we go through stress management courses, our immune systems improve. When we go through anger management courses and we test people before and after, their white blood cell counts go up. So regardless of how you figure out how to release these emotions, and you might need to see a therapist, you might need to, you know, try forms of hypnosis to get to those repressed memories. You know, a lot of traumas from childhood are actually repressed. You don't even remember that something happened. But however you can uncover these things that you've been holding on to and let them go, we know scientifically that that's going to help your immune system.
So would you say, Kelly, that, you know, and I find this fascinating, definitely fascinating when it comes to the emotional part. And I'm a big believer in emotional freedom technique, EFT. For those of you out there who are listening, I highly recommend Googling it because it deals with the emotions and releasing the emotions. But my question to you, Kelly, would be, the people that you spoke to, did they release their emotions for good, or was it something they were dealing with and working? It was a work in progress in terms of being able to work on these emotions that they had.
It's always a work in progress, because we are all human. The people that I study are not enlightened saints. They are all just much more aware of what they can do to stay healthy. For example, Joe, who's the featured survivor in the Releasing Suppressed Emotions chapter, he had all this. He's a lung cancer survivor. He never had any Western treatment for his stage 3 lung cancer because the things that he was doing were working. And so he kept putting the chemo off for another 6 months and another 6 months. Well, it's been more than 5 years. But what he found is that he was holding on to all of this anger and frustration from his childhood. And he found the right combination of books and therapists and practices to really release that. But it's something that he practices every day now. So if a situation comes up and he, you know, feels frustrated or stressed or resentful, he has practices now to help him breathe that out, feel it fully, and then breathe it out. And so, yeah, it's definitely something, it becomes a life habit as opposed to something that's just done.
Well, Kelly, I would, you know, I'm sure I'm speaking for Lisa and I, we would love to have you back on the show. And what I'd love to do is go into each step a little bit more detail and talk about some of these stories that you've heard from people who have survived. And I recommend anyone out there who is touched by cancer or knows someone who has cancer, buy Kelly's book, Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds. You can also visit her website at radicalremission.com and follow her on Twitter at Dr. Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, Turner. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stay well.